titled, I Refuse to Stay Down, I Come Up. Last week, Sunday, I'm just going to add to it this morning. We laid a foundation, and one of the foundations we laid was that the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most significant event in human history. That is to say, time is divided in dispensation based on the birth and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is B.C. before Christ and A.D. after the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the resurrection of Christ is acknowledged by unbelievers. Even though they refuse to receive Jesus, they yet have acknowledged that the death and the resurrection of Christ is the most significant event. And also they have unconsciously acknowledged that Jesus Christ truly rose. That is why they say after death and before Christ and after death of Christ. So the resurrection of Christ is not a fiction. It is not fabricated. We really believe that Jesus rose, and the whole of our faith hinges on that. That is why if you remove the death, the burial, resurrection, the glorification of Christ, then we do not have Christianity, because everything about our faith hinges around that. The glorification of Christ and everything that Jesus did, it's what has made the Christian faith what it is. Now, the resurrection of Christ is a powerful picture of possibility for you and I here on the planet Earth. The resurrection of Christ is designed to ignite faith in us. His resurrection should also cultivate the confidence in you and I to believe that if the grave couldn't hold Jesus, then nothing that comes against you and I can be able to hold us. That is to say, whatever has come to suck the life out of you, whatever is holding your hope hostage, I declare over them this morning, they will submit to the authority of Christ in your life in the name of Jesus. I command that thing to release its grips on you in the name of Jesus. Whatever has come to manipulate you, to stop you from becoming all that God has called you to be, I declare this morning that thing loses its hold on your life in the name of Jesus. Whatever has confronted you, I declare this morning by the power of resurrection, I command that satanic confrontation be leveled out against you in the name of Jesus. I level it out in the name of Jesus. So Jesus Christ got up as an example to provoke you and I to believe that we too can get up from whatever it is that has come to put us down. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ shouldn't only inspire hope in us. I want us to also be educated from it, from what happened to Jesus on that fateful day. You and I should draw lessons from it, because as believers, we are to learn from that event that changed the entire human race. And the lesson I want to point us to is captured in the word that I gave to us this morning, which is, do not allow your setback to become something that keeps you down. Don't allow your setback to become something that keeps your head down. That is to say, refuse to stay down. Rather, come up. Let your setback become your setup for a coming back up in the name of Jesus. Now, do you know that the resurrection of Christ was not a comeback from the grave and death? It was a come up. The resurrection of Christ was not a comeback from death, from grave and death. It was a come up. That was why when Jesus rose, he did not stay put here on the planet Earth. Instead, he ascended glorified to heaven. He went to God in heaven. Jesus went into the grave, beaten, bruised, bloodied, and battered. But when he came out of the grave, he came out of the grave healed, whole, empowered, endowed with all authority in heaven and on the earth. I declare over you this morning, whatever grave has held you captive, as you come out this morning, you are coming out a better person in the name of Jesus. You are coming out a better person in the name of Jesus. You are coming out a better person in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Give the Lord your praise one more time. Hallelujah. So we saw a couple of things. Let me move a bit and, you know, push it to where I want us to get to this morning. Now, we saw that Jesus shouldn't have been in the grave, but he found himself there. Now, it wasn't fair that he was there. It wasn't fair that he had to go through the grave. You are where you are, and I don't know why you are where you are. often we find ourselves where we are and we do not have a clear answer as to why we are where we are. There are different reasons that contributed to why we are where we are. Jesus was where he was, not because of himself, but because of two things. Number one, we established because of you and I. He died our debt so that we can live his life. He took the pain for us so that we can take the liberty that is available in him. Number two, because the devil put him there. In John chapter 13, listen to what verse 2 says. The evening meal was in progress and the devil had already prompted Judas. The devil was the one who prompted Judas. I pray for you. Any satanic prompting that has been arranged for your destiny in this month of November, I command them to cease in the name of Jesus. Whatever Satan is prompting, whoever Satan is prompting to harm you in this month of November, I decree and I declare, let the prompting be deleted in the name of Jesus. It was Satan who prompted Judas. The devil prompted Judas, that is to say, he put the idea in his head. He put the desire in the heart of Judas to want to betray Jesus. So Jesus cannot blame God for the grave. Neither can he blame himself for the grave. Why? Because even though for you, he accepted to go to the grave on our behalf, even though he accepted to go willingly on our behalf, you and I must understand that he could have chosen not to go. He could have decided not to go, but he still went on our behalf. So considering the two reasons that took Jesus to the grave, God was not the one behind it. So Jesus couldn't blame God. But when you look at also the same John chapter 13, verse 27, it says, as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, what you are about to do, do quickly. What you are about to do, do quick. So Judas was busy eating Jesus' bread and at the same time was betraying him. Judas was eating Jesus' bread and at the same time he was betrayed. Sometimes could it be that the people who betray you are the same people who eat bread with you? Because sometimes the people who betray you are not necessarily strangers. They are those who dip their hands in the same plate with you. Those who eat the same bread with you. Verse 2 tells us Satan prompted him. Verse 27 tells us that Satan entered him. Two things. So that is to say, the Bible gave us these details because when you entertain promptings, promptings will progress to entrance. Satan prompted him. He entertained it. Verse 27. After entertaining the prompting, it became an entrance. I declare over you, whatever door you have opened for the devil, I close it this morning in the name of Jesus. I close it this morning in the name of Jesus. Any prompting you have entertained by the power of resurrection, I command that prompting deleted in the name of Jesus. So he prompted him. He entertained it. Satan entered. So Jesus was able to sense something different has happened to Judas. And Jesus told him to do quickly what he wanted to do. And if you notice very well, Jesus didn't try to convince Judas not to do it. Why? He knows that when someone has been overwhelmed by evil, they are now operating in what I call temporal insanity. When people are, when they have been overtaken by evil. So no logic at that moment will have helped Judas. No logic will have helped him not to go ahead with whatever he was planning. So Judas, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. Because I have enough confidence in the sovereignty of God to know that whatever you are going to do will not stop the plan of God for my life. That is to say, Judas has planned on betraying Jesus. But when you understand very well, the betrayal was even before he arrived at the table. But God also has his own plan for Jesus Christ. That is to say, Judas was planning with Satan. God also was planning
in one side. And Jesus was so confident in the ability, the sovereignty of God to take the plan of the devil and use it to his own advantage. I don't know what I've been planned against you. I declare over you this morning, as your amen will thunder, it will become your advantage in the name of Jesus. It will be used to your advantage in the name of Jesus. It will be used to your advantage in the name of Jesus. In the sovereignty of God, I prophesy, as your amen will thunder this morning, that evil plan, that evil conspiracy shall be used to your advantage in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Celebrate the Lord this morning. Judas, whatever you want to do, do it quickly. I have confidence in the sovereignty of God that this to say, whatever you do, he will use it to my advantage. So the sooner Judas does what he wants to do to you, the sooner God will do what he has planned to do for you. The sooner Satan puts you in the grave, the sooner God is going to bring you out of the grave. Why? Because God has purposed over your life that no weapon formed against you can prosper. Satan can put you down, but friends, I came to tell you, you are coming up again in the name of Jesus. You are coming back up in the name of Jesus. I don't know who this is for. I declare this morning, you are coming back up again in the name of Jesus. Satan has put your business down. I came this morning with the rod of higher priesthood. I declare you are coming back up again in the name of Jesus. He put your career down. You are coming back up again in the name of Jesus. You are coming back up in the name of Jesus. Declare, say, I come up. Declare, say, by the mercy of God, by the grace of God, I come up. If you believe it, give me two. Amen. Two. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Shout his name in victory this morning. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Alive Church, celebrate the Lord this morning. Give him praise. Those who know that they are coming up, give him praise. Hallelujah. In John 18, the Bible said, the same night, Jesus goes up to the garden of Gethsemane to pray. Peter, James, and John were with him, and the soldiers came to take Jesus into custody. And in verse 10, Peter takes out his sword. Sometimes you need men like Peter around you who don't ask questions, they just act. Alebarosa. We have such men like Pastor Sam. He doesn't ask questions, he just goes for it. Peter pulled a sword and went. Listen, friends, I believe he wasn't aiming for the ears of that man. Nobody picks their sword and aims for ordinary ear. He was aiming for the head. But somehow, by the mercy of God, he missed the head and the ear fell off. You don't lift a whole sword and you go for ordinary ear. No, no, no. You can't be that precise with the ear. Somehow, I believe, when he pulled it, the guy dodged it. The thing collected his ears. And his ears fell on the ground. Hear this, friends. Grace will make you miss something that you are planning to do that you are not supposed to do. Thank God that grace made sure that Peter missed the head. Grace will make you miss certain things. While you are furious, you were busy dialing their number. It was grace that made them not to pick up. Because if you have said what you wanted to say, you will have damaged the relationship. So grace made sure that you missed the head. So that when you have calmed down, when you finally meet them, what you wanted to say, you will no longer be able to say. Grace made sure the SMS you sent returned back to sender. It came back to you. The email you sent did not go. That is what grace does. It makes sure that you miss what you are not supposed to do so that the mercy of God can still prevail. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Give the Lord your praise. So grace made sure that Peter missed the head. Because he was not supposed to do that. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Aren't you grateful to God for the times you missed? Aren't you grateful to God? Oh, you are still in that relationship because you missed. The things you wanted to say, somehow they didn't pick up the phone. And now when you calm down
And they said, actually, you were calling me. What were you trying to say? Don't worry. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Give the Lord your praise this morning. That's what the grace of God will do. Let me show you something concerning the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. In Matthew 26, verse 52 to 53, Jesus told Peter, if I wanted to, I could have called the legions of angels. I could have prevented this from taking place. I could have stopped them from taking me into custody. But I choose not. Why? Because God is sovereign. He makes evil work for him. God is sovereign. In his sovereignty, he knows how to make evil work for him. Child of God, your heavenly Father is sovereign over everything. He will take what the enemy sends to destroy your life and uses it to work for himself. He will take the lies that they have so told about you and use it to work for you. Hey, he will take the heartbreak and say, with this heartbreak, it will work for me. That is to say, God is able to take the disappointment and the despair and make them work for you. I don't know what you have experienced that has been negative. It says last 10 months, the pain, the despair, I came to announce to you, God will use it for your glory in the name of Jesus. In the next 2 months, God will use it as an advantage for you in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. That's the sovereignty of God. God uses those things to work together for your good. Romans 8:28. And we know, and we know that some things, that a few things. How many things, church? How many things, church? Preach this gospel with me. How many things, church? All things work together for good to them that love God and them who are the called according to his purpose. And we know the good, the bad, and the ugly. We know the disappointment. We know the gossip against you. We know they malign your name. We know the pedo rumors about you. And we know the right stories that are not true about you. And we know they conspire against you. And we know all things. I decree and I declare, as your amen will thunder this morning, whatever it is that has happened to you in the negative, I command it to be used for your advantage in the name of Jesus. Let it be used to your advantage in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. And we know God uses them to work things out that will be for your own good. Shout amen one more time. God uses them to make you stronger. He uses them to make you better and greater. Ah, say amen again. Hey, some of you wouldn't have been stronger emotionally if the betrayal didn't happen. Some of you wouldn't have. You would have still been lily-livered. But thank God for the betrayal. When you came out of it, you said to the devil, you thought you could keep me down. Some of you wouldn't have been where you are today. Thank God. Thank God for the gang up. You see, the way you're praying right now, the prayer wouldn't have existed if they were not ganging up against you. You would have still been sipping coffee and mojito. But thank God. Ayaya, for the gang up. You said today, no coffee, no mojito, is fasting. It's fastito. If there's anything like that. Ayaya, that devil is a bastard. I declare over you this morning, your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. Your glory days are here in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise, everybody. Celebrate him this morning. Hey! God did not cause that problem that came against you, but my friends, God will redeem it. He will use it to bring a testimony into your life. Why? Because when God's hand touches it in his sovereignty, he moves the destruction into becoming a development. Remember what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of God. If Satan had known, he would have left Jesus alone.
Why? Because the Jesus that resurrected came out of the grave with all power in his hands. Before he went to the grave, he didn't have all power. But when he rose, he said, now I have fulfilled all righteousness. All power in heaven and on earth is in my hand. If Satan had known that Jesus would come out of the grave with all power, he wouldn't allow him enter the grave. He wouldn't have allowed him. And I came to tell you, if Satan knew what he was doing, he would never have put you through what he put you through. Because the worst mistake of Satan's life was sending you through the worst season of your life. Because, friends, you are coming out of that season with power you didn't have before you entered that season. In the name of Jesus. So Jesus used his grave. Jesus used his grave. So my question to you now, this morning, is how are you going to use your own grave? Because, friends, whatever you call it, that is what it is going to become. Because what feels like setbacks are actually divine detours. Because whenever you come across a detour, it will look like it is costing more time. Whereas, it is actually saving you more time. Whenever there is a detour, you will lose more time if you ignore the detour sign. And you press through it, you lose more time. The detour helps you avoid unnecessary accidents. Sometimes God takes you the long route because he is trying to help you avoid unnecessary accidents. That is, anytime there is a detour sign on the road, even in the natural, on the road in the natural, it means one out of these two things. Number one, it means they are fixing something. That's what it means. So sometimes God takes you through a detour because he is fixing something. He is fixing something. There is something he is fixing. He is fixing something. The detour is not for fun. The detour is because he's fixing something. And also, whenever there is a detour sign on the road, it could also mean that they are building something. So whenever you go through a detour, God is building something in you. He's building something that didn't exist in the current season that you will need to exist because of the coming season. So sometimes it doesn't make sense because you don't know what you need for the next season. So you are wondering, what is God building? But it's not making sense. It's when you arrived in the next season, you will now understand what God was building in you for that season. So a detour is very necessary. Hallelujah. So child of God, you have to trust God enough to know that whatever God is doing is a preparation for the next. Whatever God is doing now, it's a preparation for the next. When you get to the next, it will finally make sense. Why what he was doing it. So what are you going to do with the grave you have with you? You are where you are. You can't change where you are. You are where you are. You are where you are. What has happened has happened. It doesn't have to be a setback if you don't call it a setback. Because whilst you are in the midst of this, you go back to God, you start talking to him. God, what do I need to learn from this? God, what do you want to fix in my life? Why? Because, friends, a glass that is not broken serves people. But a glass that is broken hurts people. You can't hold a broken glass. So if you don't allow yourself to be whole again, you'll be hurting everybody around you. So Heavenly Father, what is in me that is broken that needs to be fixed? Oh Lord, if there's nothing broken that you want to fix, what do you want to build in me that I'm going to need for what is next for me? Because as humans, friends, we are more concerned about arrival. But God is more concerned about development. You are more concerned about arrival. But God is concerned about development. You are concerned about getting to destination quickly. But friends, God is more concerned about you getting there ready. Because there are two changes to death, or rather two challenges to destiny. There are two challenges to destiny. Number one, you may get to destiny and you may never get to destiny at all. That's number one challenge. That is to say, there is a destiny available for you. You may never get there at all. Number two challenge is, you may get there and not be ready. There are many people who have arrived at destiny and they are not ready. They discover that they are not ready. They get to the top quickly and they discover that they have no capacity for the top. Why? Because every time you get to the top, you become an attention. The focus is on you. And if you have no emotional resilience, you fall. That is why people rise to the top, and before you close your eyes and open it, they are down on the floor. Why? Because they were not ready when they got to destiny. So in God's program, your development, hear me friends, please hear my heart this morning. Your development is more important than your arrival. Because it will be a tragedy for you to get to destiny unprepared. Jesus got to destiny prepared. If Jesus was not prepared, my friend, listen, he would have abandoned the journey. Oh, you thought it was easy. You could even hear in his prayers that if it is possible, take this cup. When a man prayed to the point where the sweat from his eyebrow was like blood, that tells you the level of negotiation going on in the realms of the spirit. But he was ready for it. Hallelujah. I declare you will be ready for destiny in the name of Jesus. So my question to you this morning is, are you willing to fight to come up? Will you allow the grave to bury you? Or will you have a righteous resilience and you tell yourself, this will not be a setback for me. This will not set me back. Because friends, if you are saying this situation is beyond redemption, what you are simply saying is this, you are saying that God has limited power. If you are saying you are too old, then friends, if you're saying that you are too old for God to do anything in your life, you might as well stop reading about Sarah in the Bible. When you just look for the Sarah portion, tear it out, including Abraham, remove it, and stop saying Abraham's blessings are mine. Because if you're saying you're too old for anything to happen, I've said this before, and I repeat, every time you see the story of Sarah delivering in her old age, it is not God encouraging old women to start giving birth. It is God simply telling you he is able to deliver destiny at the age where people think it can never happen. Hallelujah. And just because it has not happened to others, listen friends, it doesn't mean that God cannot do it for you. No man is my reference point when it comes to the miracles of Jesus. You didn't hear me. No man is my reference point, because friends, I don't know what your relationship with God is like. I believe God for mega things. I believe God for what eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it been thrown into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's what I believe God for. So stop looking at your brother, your sister who has not received certain things from God, and you conclude that that is how far God can. My friend, God is unlimited. God has no limit. God has no limit. I declare over you, whatever it is you have ever imagined, receive it as a testimony in the name of Jesus. Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or even think. He said, Brother Paul was too crazy there. He said, yes, I agree with your asking, but sometimes your asking is too limited. So, okay, let's switch to your thinking, to your thoughts. He said, God will exceed it. Are you ready for exceeding testimony? Are you ready for exceeding victory? Receive it in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. As I close, do you know that in boxing, you can't keep fighting without having a corner? In boxing, it's not allowed. It's only the MMA fight where there's no corner. They beat each other to death. But in boxing, there must be a corner. You can't keep fighting without. Every boxer knows the power of a corner. You just fight and fight and fight. And no, it's not allowed, because every boxer knows
when it is time to go to the corner. Why? Because when you go to the corner, the medics in your team can attend to your wounds. That's why you need a corner. So that your coach can speak to you. When you go to the corner, the bleeding can be managed and stopped. When you go to the corner. Mele koto zaba redoze de. When you go to the corner, when you go to the corner, it's for you to catch your breath. Ayana moro se toshka paya. When you go to the corner, you know, there's some things they put in their nose, they wipe their nose clean, they do everything. When you go to the corner, the coach is speaking, the medics, everybody, you see so many people around him, some are giving him water, some are, you know, everybody, the coach is saying something, you know, and the reason for the corner is so that the coach can whisper into your ears and remind you that you are better than your opponent. You are better than your, we trained for this. The coach is telling you, we trained for this. Remember the long hours at the gym? We prepared for this. I know your eyes are bleeding. Forget the bleeding. Clean it. Forget it. We trained for this. Jaka paratayana. That is why the believer needs a corner. And your corner is the church. Every time the enemy attacks you, you return back to your corner. The Holy Ghost tells you that the bleeding is nothing. For we know all things work together for your good. To them that love God and they are the called according to his purpose. Yeah, the church is yours. That is why, friends, when you don't come to the corner, you will soon die. But friends, when you come to the corner, you arrive on a 3 days change. Your faith was low. Your encouragement was low. But after you receive the word of God that tells you God is able, you step out again and you continue to fight. You come into the corner. The Holy Ghost whispers into your ears that no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue that arises against you in judgment is condemned. You arise like a lion, for the righteous is as bold as a lion. I prophesy over you, you will not die in that problem. You will not die in that situation. You are coming up. I say you are coming up. I say you are coming up. I say you are coming up. I professor, you are coming on. Give me 6 powerful amen. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. When you come to the corner, the coach tells you, this fight is not greater than you. Even though everything in you is telling you to quit, don't quit. No, don't quit. There is still another round left in you. There is still another round. Go back to that ring and fight like you have been taught to fight. Pray like you have been taught to pray. Confess scriptures like you have been taught to confess. Why? No weapon. Your corner is the house of God. Your corner is the church of Jesus Christ. The problem is most believers don't come to the corner. My friend, come to the corner. Hey, no matter how bad your day is, when it is service time, run to the corner. Run to the corner so that we can attend to your wound, so that we can clean you up. We can tell you the reason why you are who you are. Ayana Morosa, so that we can remind you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So that we can remind you that you will not die in this battle. The battle is not meant to collect you. If God be for us, who can be against us? When God is on your side, favor is on your side. When God is on your side, victory is on your side. When God is on your side, testimony is on your side. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Shall I come on? Give the Lord your praise. Ra-da-da-da-da-da-da. Rise on your feet, everybody. La-to-sa-ta parataya. Just pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Li-ka-to-ska-parato-so-bre-de-se. Le-ka-ya-da-ba-lo-bre-de-se. Pray in the spirit, everybody. E-ka-ya-na-mo-ro-sa. Le-ka-to-ska-pa-ya. E-ye-ne-mo-ro-sa.
You go through the week beaten up by life. You go through the week with all kinds of disappointment. Return back to the corner. Return back. Another word from God will build you up. Return back to the corner, the morning prayer altar. Another word from God will strengthen you. Return to the corner. My friend, never ignore the corner. Never abandon the corner. There is some fight left in you. You can't quit. Oh, I say you can't quit. I don't know who this is for, but I came to declare God brought you to the corner this Sunday morning to tell you you still have some fight left in you. There is some fight left in you. Begin to give the Lord your praise. You have a fight left in you. You have a fight left in you. Jana baradaya baya. Zeto sata parantoze.